All right. Welcome to this week's episode of Comes Naturally. Before we go into the intros, like normal, we will go into business. Michael, would you like to tell the nice folks about business?
Yeah. Go to our Facebook page, like our Facebook page, share our Facebook page with your friends, make them like it. Also, follow us on Twitter at Comes Natural Pod. And rate and review us on iTunes after you subscribe.
That's it? That's all you got?
Yeah, I'm not feeling it today.
That's good, because we're about to record two. So that's fun. All right, well, we'll start the intros then. So, Comes Naturally, we are...
Joe.
Mike.
I am Cody, and our special guest today is...
Dun-dun-dun-dun!
Eric.
Manga!
Someone call him Spit Take.
I think you just did.
Yeah.
I might be one of the some.
I think nah. You're one of the two that call him that. Well, actually, three. No. A couple people have referred to him as Spit Take. It's really funny.
That's awesome. Anyway.
Anywho, so today's episode, we're going to do a special episode of favorites. In, I don't want to say in light of, but because of the tragedy that happened this week of recording, that is. Robin Williams passing away. Tragedy, so we decided to honor him with doing our favorite Robin Williams stuff. It can be movies, TV shows, specials, whatever you want to talk about. So we'll go first. We're going to do a little differently today. We're going to run through each of our lists of what we have as our tops. They're anywhere from 5 to 10, depending on if we slacked or not. And then we'll go over some of our favorite moments and things from them as we go around the table.
And
all
then,
right.
Yeah. Once we go through that, we'll kind of break down. Yeah. Each of us will talk about a movie because, to be honest, like our top fives are probably going to look a lot very similar. So we don't want to harp on each one too much. But yeah, so we're going to go through.
Munger.
Well, so
Jesus, thanks for paying attention.
Just want to go through the list?
Yeah, go through your list.
So basically on my list, I would have Dead Poets Society, Good Will Hunting, Mork and Mindy. I grew up watching the TV show.
Because you're old.
Thank you. Club Paradise.
Because you're old.
Best of Times.
Because you're old.
Good Morning Vietnam.
Because you're old.
Patch Adams.
Sad.
I liked that movie.
It was okay.
The feels.
I really liked Patch Adams. That was really good. Super sad at the end.
Yeah.
I guess I get happy, but.
Is it?
Yeah, that's what I have on there.
Michael, your list. Book.
Of course.
All right. My favorites would consist, and it's really hard to narrow down the actual listing. So just know that these are all kind of my favorites. One would be Aladdin.
Yeah.
Also, Good Morning Vietnam. Birdcage. Jack. I really, really like Jack a lot. I thought that one was amazing, and then it was really cool. The few scenes between Bill Cosby and Robin Williams on screen together at the same time was awesome. Dead Poets Society, Good Will Hunting. And the only reason Good Will Hunting's not up higher is because I really consider that more of a Matt Damon movie than a Robin Williams movie because he's not really the lead. But he was phenomenal in that. And then to kind of turn a little bit, Final Cut? No, that's not the right one. 1 Hour Photo.
Yeah.
Final Cut's actually one of them, too.
Yeah, is one of them. Not the one I was thinking of. 1 Hour Photo, who, in that movie, he is so intensely creepy and psychopathic in that movie that I don't understand how he didn't get much recognition for that part. Like, he was so good at being that awful, scary human being in that movie that he should have gotten more praise for that role, but he didn't. And that's kind of the top ones that jumped to my mind.
Joseph.
Just talking about 1 Hour Photo, I was wondering where it fell in to Insomnia, because I thought Insomnia came out first, because it's actually one of my favorite movies for him being so like weird and creepy, right. Where he started doing more of the villainous roles. And that actually came out the same year as 1 Hour Photo and Death to Smoochie. So that whole entire year, he was doing just like weird, dark comedy or creepy, yep, villainous roles. But for my list, I honestly, no real particular order, because it, like Mike said, it is so hard to choose your favorite Robin Williams movies. But I love Good Morning Vietnam, Aladdin, Hook, Jumanji, yeah. Dead Poets Society, Good Will Hunting, I can't even remember them all.
Mork and Mindy?
Yeah. It wasn't really so much into Mork and Mindy. No, Toys was another one.
Yeah.
From way back when. There's just, I don't know. There's just so many.
Young ass LL Cool J.
Yeah, still like musically known LL Cool J.
Dude, Mrs. Doubtfire as well. Yep. I don't think that one's been mentioned
yet. Mrs. Doubtfire is amazing. Yeah.
Hello! Yeah. I don't have cream on my face, though, so. Not yet.
Not yet, yeah.
Ah,
oh, Jacob the Liar, too. I keep forgetting about that one, and I think it's one of his more touching roles.
Yeah. Sorry.
Anyway, what's yours, Cody?
Again, no particular order. Just I had Aladdin, The Birdcage, Mrs. Doubtfire, Death of Smoochie, 1 Hour Photo, AI, Artificial Intelligence for a little bit. Obviously not one of his movies, but he's awesome in it. Popeye, Robots, and The Adventures of Baron Munchausen are all on my list of movies. So yeah, that rounds them up on our list. Mike's coughing over there.
Away from the mic.
Eh, kind of. So we'll start with Eric. You want to bring up one of your favorites, and then we'll all talk about it. Whichever one you want to bring up.
You want to go off Mork and Mindy, since a lot of us probably.
No, I'm not going to bring up any of the ones that you guys don't remember or.
No, I'm not trying to be a dick. I've seen clips of it and it was funny, but I've never
just
watched
a notable
the show.
Thing about that is it started because of Happy Days.
Right, and he played the alien on Happy Days.
So he was in two episodes where it was just supposed to be a spot in there,
mm-hmm.
and then from there they spawned a show off of it.
Because the producers liked him so much, that mm-hmm. character so much.
Yep. But from there, I'd have to say, like I said, it depends on which route you're taking. Like, all of us I know like Hook.
No.
And one of my favorite scenes in the movie is when he's just sitting there fighting. They're arguing with the kids, and they're calling him things, and he's just coming up with just absurd stuff like math tutor.
No,
it just makes me laugh every time I see that part in that movie. It's one of the outstanding parts in that film. I don't know what your guys' favorite part in that movie was. But
favorite part of Hook?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It's such a good movie.
It's the montage. Like, when he's on the island of the Lost Boys and doing all, like, the training, essentially.
Yeah.
And they're whooping his ass, and then eventually he's, like,
when they slingshot him, I think is maybe the funniest moment to me, just because of the physical comedy where they draw or they paint the smiley face on his stomach.
Yeah.
And he's all happy thoughts, happy thoughts, happy thoughts, and he just goes right into the yuck water.
But between that, I mean, like, as far as funny movies, but I think probably my favorite would have to be Dead Poets Society. I really like that movie a lot. Just the fact that he comes in and he's a different type of thinker, different type of teacher, and gets kind of looked down upon for the way he's teaching and blamed for what happens when it's not really his fault.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he did a really good job in that role. I don't think anybody else could have pulled that off. And the movie, I don't think the movie would have been the same if they hadn't had him as the teacher, in my opinion.
Probably not, especially at that time. I mean, looking back on it right now, I can't really think of anybody else that really could have played that.
Yeah, because he's very good at pulling off a serious funny,
mm-hmm.
as well as pulling off goofy funny. And his serious funny comes across in a very serious manner, but he's still funny at it, if that makes sense.
No, it does. Yeah. And if you go back and you look at that cast too, which all at the time were young kids, so many of them grew up to be.
Ethan Hawke in there.
Ethan Hawke's in there. Space on the guy with, isn't he the one ended up in Watchmen? Right, one of those guys was in it, wasn't he?
What, really? Let me see.
I might be mixing people up, but anyway, if you look at the cast, which I'm. And I'm not in front of me right now like it should be.
There's a bunch of
A bunch of relatively unknowns, and a lot of them, you know, have pretty good, long-lasting careers now.
Bum, bum, bum.
So that would be your...
One.
Yeah, those would be, like I said, as far as like an all-around just funny movie, I really like Hook. I really like Club Paradise. I know that's a lot of people not... It's an older movie, so again, but I was around when it came out. And I thought it was always a funny movie, just Rick Moranis being in there, playing off of it, Eugene Levy. There's a lot of funny characters in the movie. And again, he's kind of the one tying everybody together and holding the movie together, as he's part owner in a really, really rundown resort while the island's going through a, getting ready to go through a revolution of its own. So it's I think it's a hilarious movie myself.
Well, I'm not sure if I've ever seen it.
It's one of those ones I've seen.
Jimmy Cliff in it.
Yep.
He was a reggae singer. It's really funny. His accent's rough.
You know, one of the things that stick out in my mind when you talk about Club Paradise is one thing that you have to bring up when you're talking about Robin Williams is he was the best talk show guest in the history of talk shows. Every talk show that is on with any of the late nights, whether it was starting off with, you know, Carson and Letterman, then to Leno, and then to Conan, and even he was on a couple with Fallon. He was one of the funniest people ever. Like, if I knew Robin Williams was going to be, and I kind of drifted away from watching most of those shows, but if I caught an ad saying, like, oh, Robin Williams is on the Tonight Show tonight, I'd definitely watch for at least that segment. And the one of the things sticks out in my mind talking about Club Paradise is the fact I remember on Leno one time, I think this is after he, you know, he spent some time in rehab, one of his stints in rehab, and Leno was talking about him, and Robin Williams was talking about how, you know, now that he has kids, it's hard to, you know, explain to them what's going on, but he referenced the fact that those questions weren't hard, but the questions that were really hard to answer is when his daughter asked him why he did Club Paradise.
And then, like, the other thing we brought up too was like on Comic Relief when him, Billy Crystal, and Whoopi Goldberg used to host.
Yeah.
Anytime that they were supposed to be reading from the cue cards, he would always sidetrack them on purpose and was so good at just coming up with the most random stuff off the cuff that was hilarious. And then they'd pull it back together and then he would just sidetrack them again. He was genius at just coming up with stuff on the spot. And again, I think that's why he made a very good guest on TV shows, because again, he could just come up with anything off the cuff.
I remember, because you know, watching late night shows, everyone always has their notes. Every host always has their notes. I remember one episode of Letterman. He was trying to ask a question. Robin Williams kept going into bits. And he tried to ask, like, three times he was trying to ask a question before Robin Williams ran into bits. And it got quiet for a second, and they're looking at him. Like, they're both looking at each other, and it was this really funny moment where they're both silent for a little bit, and as soon as Letterman reached for his notes to start reading for him, Robin Williams went off into another bit, and Letterman just took all of his paperwork and threw it behind him, and Robin Williams basically did stand up the rest of his appearance. It was fantastic.
That's awesome.
All right, that's all I got.
Michael. Yeah.
All right, one of my favorites that sticks out in my mind that I want to talk about is Good Morning Vietnam. Not only because the movie itself is hilarious, but it's also super fucked up too. And like it touches on for real serious matters, and it was realistic enough in the situations that were going on to give it good credibility. The cast is really good. A young Forrest Whitaker was funny in it. Robin Williams, of course, killed it. And it's basically, I think the reason it worked so well is because you had so many scenes of him being the you know, the radio DJ, which was basically him getting to do bits, which is one of the best things about Robin Williams is his bits and is obviously his energy that he brings to it and his different characters, and be able to just go, you know, right off the wall with all kinds of improv shit. But the biggest reason that it holds up in my mind is one of my favorite, or probably my favorite Robin Williams movie, is because of my grandfather. My grandfather was in Vietnam, and my granddad is a hard ass when it comes to comedies. Like, he never liked any of the comedies I liked ever. Like, I remember the first time I watched Ferris Bueller's Day Off. My granddad, being real old school, just thought it was stupid. When I was like, oh, man, I really like this movie. And obviously, you know, as a young kid, I liked a whole bunch of shit that I probably, you know, would be embarrassing to say that I like now. But I remember this was one of the only movies up until that point where I would laugh and laugh and laugh, and I'd look over and I'd see my granddad laughing and laughing and laughing. to the point where granddad will like chuckle at movies. Very rarely will he laugh out loud, like a good belly laugh that, you know, something really got him. And I think it was because, one, Robin Williams is, you know, generationally speaking, I don't think it matters, you know, where you're at in life. You're going to laugh at Robin Williams because he's that funny. And two, because, like, I know, and as a kid, I never made this connection, but I know my granddad was at Vietnam. And I know, you know, he'd probably remember some of the issues he was having, and, you know, putting that into real life perspective and being able to laugh at something that he could connect to like that. I always thought that was really important, and I've always held on to that since then, that it's one of the few movies that I know if I go home right now, pop in that movie with my granddad, we will both laugh the entire time we watch it. So it's really, and the scenes where he's trying to teach the people how to speak English. Oh, so good. When he's teaching them real American language, like how to say like fuck off and pissed off, like things like that. It's just one of the funniest things you could put in a movie. But yeah, so that's definitely one of my favorite ones.
And it was like one his first big movie. Like I know we mentioned already Club Paradise, which came a year or so before this movie, but Good Morning Vietnam was his real breakout big, you know, he was the actual main character.
Besides Popeye?
Besides Popeye, yes, because Popeye came out way before it.
Yeah.
Popeye's amazing, too. I say amazing, and I'm not using that word lightly. It is amazing.
It's true.
It is on the list of movies.
of movies.
But it's not very high on that list. Like, he's a great
you're Popeye. High on that list.
It's on the list of movies he made.
Exactly. Exactly.
Wasn't a fan, and trust me, I saw it when it came out.
He played a great Popeye. I mean, you yes. must admit that.
Yeah,
but the movie itself was not
no
good.
No,
you're out of your goddamn minds.
And if I read correctly, isn't that based off the actual? There was a stage play.
Yeah,
is what they based that off of.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That was a yep. Broadway play, I believe.
Who makes a Broadway play out of Popeye?
And same people will try to make a Broadway play out of Spider-Man.
Yeah. Good point.
And that's what the movie was adapted. Good point. From.
Or Cats.
Yeah, but Cats was like award-winning.
Cats based off of Cats. Stupid. Why would you want to make a Broadway play off of a household pet?
Well, it's because they couldn't get dogs. Because
they
funded.
Obviously get a lot of people like Cody in there. Look at kitties! Kitties, kitties, kitties!
First
at,
off...
It's got chopsticks taped off, to it! It's playing
did
chopsticks!
You see the video of the
chopsticks.
Cats
playing
chopsticks?
First off... Yes.
Cats the musical. Just a ding, 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 ding.
He's playing chopsticks with chopsticks. Oh, yeah, awesome. Joe, would you like to talk about one movie in particular besides Popeye and how awesome it is?
I'm probably going to steal yours and say Aladdin.
You son of a bitch! All right, go back to the list. Go ahead and talk about it.
Both of you talk about it.
We are, but I have to go back to the list and pick a different movie to talk about now because someone's a son of a bitch. You stole my movie.
I suppose I could take Jumanji if you'd want.
No,
yeah,
no.
Take Jumanji, no, you weirdo. Why would you say it like that? You said Jumanji.
Because that's who funded it.
A lot of racists going on.
Hollywood, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Ask Mel Gibson.
that's a whole different Jew movie. Go ahead and talk about Aladdin. We have plenty of time.
We're all going to have comments about Aladdin. Yeah.
Like,
so.
Aladdin is really the first because it came out in 1992.
Yeah,
And it really was the first animated movie that I actually knew who some of the voices were in the movie. And really, right now, I can only think of Robin Williams as one of the voices in the movie.
Well, I remember advertisements for it, and it was like Robin Williams as the genie in Aladdin was like how all the previews would go.
That's when they were putting out their better movies before they kind of went through that period of where the movies were okay. I mean, they were still good, but
yeah.
It was also the first Disney movie to have computer animation in it.
Ooh.
Fancy.
Yeah.
Should have let Cody talk about it because he obviously knows a whole lot
but
more.
The commercials were heavy on the genie. And a lot of the promos.
You know why?
Because it was the best part.
Really was. And the role of
because it was a big, obviously a big name with Robin Williams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But because they were trying to win him back because he was upset at Disney. because he took the least amount of wages you can pay an actor due to the unions. He wanted his voice not be part of any of the toys or advertisements. He wanted Genie to be the smallest main character pictured on the poster. And when they failed to do that, he actually stopped promoting the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And for a long, long time, many years, in fact, it was like, I think it was like almost 8 years between when, or no, 6 years, something like that, when the third Moon came out, when he actually came back and worked with him again.
Yeah, because he skipped the second one and went to the...
Yeah, it was like...
It was 4 years.
4 years. Okay, 4 years.
92 to 96. Okay, yeah, years. So the second 96. One yeah. that came out, he didn't...
Yeah, some other guy who did Genie.
Which I don't remember. Because
he was doing an impression. He was doing... It sounded like he was doing an impression of Robin Williams doing Genie.
Actually, did that one go straight to DVD?
No, the third one went straight to DVD.
Which
Revenge of Jafar was actually in theaters, I filmed.
Yeah, and it bombed because it had no...
Because it wasn't...
Didn't have Robin Williams.
Well, yeah, but it didn't have the humor and joy that the first one did.
Because wasn't it all of Robin Williams' parts ad-libbed in that?
Yeah, a lot of them were, yeah.
Like, because I remember reading that, like...
Both roles that he played, by the way.
The merchant, too.
Yeah. Dead Sea Tupperware. Be careful, it spits.
Ooh, it's fresh. yeah, so for him to be able to come off, that movie's so quotable, dude. Like, there's so many lines in there that I still say, like, randomly to my wife to try to make her laugh. Yeah.
But even just the song you say, was it Prince Ali, makes me laugh every time.
Ali of Ali,
and you have to actually watch it too to get the full laughs out of it. Because hearing the song, if you haven't seen the movie, you hear the song, it's like, oh, that's kind of funny. But if you watch what's going on, he's the elephant. You know, he's all the different animals.
He's the maiden parade commentator. Don't they look lovely, June?
Yeah,
just cracks me up every time.
Oh, it's fantastic.
He's probably the only person that could have possibly played Genie at all, because that really was him on screen.
Oh, yeah. They did an excellent job of capturing the animation, I'm sure, happened in the booth with he was there, too. There's like, we have to make this drawn into pictures. Yeah.
Quick. Somebody put a bunch of dots on his face and let's record.
Way before that, sir.
Give me some Avatar.
What's Avatar?
Going to the future. I remember...
Animals with their ponytails.
That movie came out in 92?
Aladdin?
Yeah. Okay, so I'm not saying this to sound like a dick, but you guys are going to get mad. I was 5 when it came out. And I remember watching it in theaters. So, I'm sorry.
I remember too.
But I remember...
Because Eric was out of high school.
Once it came... I remember once it came out on VHS at the time.
Because he was. Sorry, go ahead.
Old.
Came out on VHS.
It came out on VHS.
White plastic.
Yeah, because the Disney ones were, you had to pop
you
them out.
You could never fucking
and
put
then,
them on any shelf.
And then if you.
And it was only the Disney ones.
It's only Disney ones.
Everything else had the cardboard sleeve.
It had the normal size ones. Yeah. Like, that's how you knew in my house we had our big movie collection up, because we would do
and
like.
And Disney was always by itself.
Yeah, by itself. Because. So you'd see all the other one, and then you see like this giant white outline group of movies. You're like, oh, my Disney movies. And remember, if you like watched a movie a lot, like the
they wouldn't stick anymore
because it was just really poorly constructed.
So when you pulled it out of the shelf, it'd pop up. You're like, oh, gotta catch the tape.
Catch it before it falls out. So I remember watching it in theaters, but I can't like really like specifically note stuff.
You can say you don't remember. You were
but
too young.
No, but I literally remember sitting there in the theater and watching it. It's one of my like earliest memories. That one and Terminator 2. very common movies. I remember once it finally came out on VHS and we finally got it, that it lived in my VCR for a couple years. Like, it was always one of those movies that, you know, as a little kid, you always wake up before everybody else in the house. I'd go grab Aladdin and I'd throw that in and I'd start watching it. And it pissed off the rest of my family, because they'd wake up and they'd come in to the living room and there'd always be like 10 or 15 minutes left of Aladdin. So I'm pretty sure they memorized the last half of it as well as I memorized the whole thing for a long, long time. And one of the things that, like, as I got older and I kept watching it, and I never really stopped watching it because it was always one of those ones I could go back to and really enjoy, is I remember when Genie is talking to Aladdin and he cuts into a Jack Nicholson impression with the sunglasses on, tells him he's got to be a straight shooter. lost my shit because at the time I never heard anybody do a Jack Nicholson impression.
Yeah.
And Jack Nicholson was one of those guys. As soon as you heard his voice, you knew who it was. And I thought that was, I was like, ah, Robin Williams must be the most talented guy in the world because he could do a Jack Nicholson impression.
Joe.
No, so what's your next one? Yeah.
I thought you had more. Talk about the movie you stole from me.
You talk about it. You didn't say much.
Yeah.
I love the movie, but I'm just saying.
What was your favorite part?
Well, the song when they first discovered Genie in the chamber thought with everything is fantastic. But the parade scene where he's talking about all this different stuff, and it's basically when he goes to it, it's actually him, the genie, as whatever it is, you know, that sort of stuff. But like, just the, like, he was such a big part of that movie. It's hard to think that, like, that wasn't about Genie, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was about Aladdin, but, like, it's so... If you took Genie out, the movie would be, like, 15 minutes long.
Yeah.
And be really awful, because...
Well, yeah, because it would have ended with Aladdin in prison.
Yeah, it's like, oh.
Oh, yeah, and he just...
Like, yeah.
But I just remember, like, when I saw that, I was older than Mike, as I still am older than Mike. He hasn't caught up to me yet. Which
keep
is
trying.
Good.
Run faster,
which
Mike.
Is, which is good for me.
We'll put you in a freezer for a couple years.
Doesn't. I don't think that really counts.
Does now.
All right. But he made that movie, but like, I just remember the atmosphere, like when Jafar went to open the chamber for the first time, you know, and like the lion's head comes out of the sand and everything, or panther,
oh,
or whatever
yeah.
it was, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like got so dark, and then it, like, he goes in like Diamond the Rough, and you know, collapses, and he, like, you get the genie. It's like he brought so much more to that movie. I mean, man, granted, it was like 10 minutes into the movie by the time you get to there, but like, he brought it, and it just changed the way the movie went through. You know, it's like so good and so funny. Just,
even when you go to Disneyland now, you still see the genie character walking around, and kids still get excited.
Oh,
like, he's like, they're like, oh, it's the genie.
Yep.
Have you seen the play that they do there, the Aladdin play? That's awesome.
But it's funny because it seems like they're more excited about Genie.
Than Aladdin.
Yeah.
Because really, like, Aladdin, like, who cares? Like, I know it sounds mean. You need him there or else the story doesn't make sense. It's just a genie fucking doing shit.
Because otherwise the movie would be really boring. If it was just Genie inside the lamp, still be like, infinite power and wisdom.
Time leaving space.
Yeah. So, like, that kind of stuff. But, yeah, quotes. I mean, so many different things in that movie are
the quotes
quotable.
Are great.
But, yeah, the ad-lib stuff is, I mean, it must have been so hard for the animators because they're like, what now? You want him to look like who?
Yeah.
Already?
In this scene, he's got to look like Jack Nicholson.
And then he just turned it into this and this
and that.
Yeah, and then, like, one of my favorite things, when I was little, we went on a, we got on a plane to go from California, where I'm from, here to Arizona one time.
You took a plane for that?
Yeah, it was weird, right? And then the lady comes up, and she's like, you know, exits are here, here, and here. And I just remember in my head, like, Gina going, exits are here, 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 and pops off
the
magic carpet.
Yeah.
It just makes me laugh, because it's like, ah, it's a stewardess joke. So, yeah, there's so many things that are unbelievable with that movie. It's, like, fantastic. And his voice work and other stuff, too. Like, one of the ones I didn't put on my list, but we were talking about earlier, was Fern Gully, because he plays Batsy.
Yeah,
and like, he's green light, whoosh, and runs in a tree. Red light, you know, that sort of stuff is fantastic.
It was on a lower scale because he wasn't.
He was more
Batty,
of a sub character.
Yeah, Batty wasn't nearly as big of a character as Genie was, and which I still think is the only thing that's wrong with Fern Gully is the fact that Batty could have been more of a character. But I remember. Do you remember the guy's name in Fern Gully? The one that gets shrunk down.
The actual. Character's name?
Yeah, the character's name. I can't remember. I
that guy got shrunk?
Yeah, anyway. But there's a scene where Batty's holding him by the arms, and Batty's like they have to do something heroic. It's been a long time since I watched it, and Batty wants to fly away. And so the guy keeps going wrong channel, and he flicks the little antenna on Batty's head, and he has, like, multiple personalities.
Yeah.
And then one of the ones, again, going back, my granddad did not laugh at anything in Fern Gully. But when Robin Williams does the John Wayne voice, that, all right, Pilgrim, we're going in, and he goes in, he's got the army helmet on, my granddad would lose his shit every time. Yeah, that was one of the best parts of that one.
I love that movie, too.
It's a good one. It's funny.
It's one of the best bad guys in animation history,
Tim Curry.
Too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the awesome. Song's the dope, probably the dopest song in animation is Toxic Love.
Yeah. So weird, too.
It's a good one. It's a good one.
That guy's had a bizarre career.
He's a bizarre guy. We're not talking about him, though. We're talking about Robin Williams. Get on track.
So what would be your movie cover?
Miss Doubtfire will be the first one I talk about. I love this fucking movie. I'm going through the quotes to try to find one to get the context, but I'll just tell you the quote.
Hello!
I
for you.
Hello! No, which we still do at work all the time. But
the context behind that, no.
Yeah, so I was trying to find the rest of the quotes, like, you know, things, but it's the one where he throws the orange at the back of Pierce Brosnan's hand and he goes, "Oh my God, it's the drive-by fruiting!" Like, it's so funny. He's like, "Some angry boy," and he must have not tipped him. I was like, oh, I'm trying to get the exact quote, but yeah, it's fantastic.
That's,
I mean, so
that's
many
one of the ones, like, I'll still say to this day, because, like, I remember, like, recently, I pissed off my wife, which is something that happens.
Daily,
yeah. Recently. Hourly.
But in a joking way, and she had an orange in her hand, and she chucked it at me. I was like, oh, it was a drive-by fruiting. And she's like, oh, God, I hate you, because she'd laugh. And then she's done being mad at me. So thanks, Robin Williams.
You'll yeah.
help me out of a lot of issues with your quotes, sir.
Yeah. I mean, that movie's fantastic, just because it's so risque of a movie for being a kid's movie, you know? Because it really was like a family movie. It did have the feels in it, not as much as other movies that he has made. But like the crazy thing is, like, they have the part where they talk about their uncle, and it's like Uncle Jack and Aunt Jim or whatever it was. I'm trying to find it in there, but it's like they're both dudes. And you realize, like, they're gay, and he goes over there, and that's who they do the makeup and stuff, and then. Has the guy with the raspy
voice. He tells him, I want you to make me a woman. He's like, oh, I've been waiting for so long.
Yeah, that stuff, the other thing. And then, like, just the interactions with him and the kids and, like, doing all these different things. And it was funny. But it also, in the beginning,
that was one of the
actor.
Lawrence brothers, too, huh? Yeah. The kids? Yeah, I forgot about that.
Middle or youngest one, yeah. Not Joey, but one of the younger ones that was in it. Whatever. Yeah. But, like, in the beginning of the movie, when he's the voiceover actor. And he's doing the thing with the little cartoon with the bird, and he goes, "Oh, smoking! Oh, gonna kill me like this, smoking like that." And it's like often, like, "Hey, just stay to the lines," you know. And then he gets fired, obviously, and that's when leads to the whole turmoil of the movie with Crazy Pants, you know, kicking him out and all that fun stuff. And then just like the hilarity that happens, especially when his daughter accidentally comes into the bathroom when he's peeing, but he's standing up, and she's like, "Oh my God!" Yeah, it's really funny. So I love that movie because of that. And it really is a crazy to think about how, like, all the different jokes that are in that you don't get so much when you're a kid, and when you later,
yeah, the more you watch it, the more you understand.
I mean,
I wasn't jokes.
I mean, at this time, I wasn't a little kid, but I was on the cusp of being
a teenager. One of the ones that always stands out to me is when he's cooking and he catches his
hot flashes.
Yeah. It's been a woman for like 12 hours. I'm already getting hot flashes.
What's Christmas like burning rubber?
But she, just the way he grabs two pot pans and starts banging at his boobs
when
with it.
He's sitting at the bar at the pool and he's checking the girl out and doesn't realize that he's still dressed.
Oh,
as
yeah,
the woman.
He's in his voice and he creeps out the other guys.
And then when the guy tries to mug him and he's just like, it's like, yeah, get out of here. And it's like, oh, the hell? Yeah. And then, it's super hilarious. I love that movie because it is ridiculous, but it's like one of those things where, like, when you think about Robin Williams, Miss Doubtfire always pops into everyone's head. It's just so, like, such a staple movie.
And
something that no one else could do that movie that way. There's always been dudes dressed as chicks or in suits of some type, you know. There's been a lot of them.
White chicks.
Yeah, but, like, you know, things like
but
that.
Like done
but
right.
Yeah, something
saying.
Like this.
And the only
like,
other person that I can think of that did it right was
Eddie Murphy.
No, not Eddie Murphy.
Norbit.
Yep.
Wow.
We high fived from Norbit.
Yep. Ugh, that happened.
That's a good movie.
Right in the bro hole. Go ahead.
No, I can't think of it. It's Dustin Hoffman, and it's
Tootsie.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Kramer versus Kramer.
Bosom buddies. Yeah, it's just another role where it's like that was Robin Williams. If it wasn't for Robin Williams, that movie wouldn't have been what it was.
And that's speaking to his genius, really, because so many of his roles, and there's some that are kind of generic that, you know, he's done some movies that I don't care for, but there's always something in his movies that is, at least has some redeeming qualities, because he can do so many different things. But like I said, to really speak to his genius and how good he was, there's so many roles that if you try to reimagine it with anybody else, it just you
not gonna work.
Don't think it'll work. Like Jumanji. Like, I don't see that working with anybody else. I don't see Mrs. They tried Doubtfire.
It was called Zethru and it sucked.
Yeah, exactly. Really? Some of the, you know, the voice acting that he's done, you just don't see it working with anybody else. I think that's really speaks volumes to how good he was and how he just owned the shit that he did. He made it his.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I liked was the one episode of Family Guy where Peter's dream is
For everyone to be Robin Williams. Everyone he touches. Yeah.
But you keep getting different types of Robin Williams, and then he keeps bringing up which type they are. Oh. Like, you know, you have the off the wall one, you have the sad depressed one.
Yeah.
And it's just funny the way he keeps it. There's different ones just running around the town.
Yeah. Super hilarious. And eventually everyone is that way. Yeah. So yeah, that was my first one. Eric, would you like to go over another one of your favorites? Let's see. What else did I have? Oh, I forgot my list because I'm old and it's so far ago.
Shut up.
So Fargo.
One that we haven't talked about was Good Will Hunting, which we all, I think, liked. Again, it was a big part for, obviously, Matt Damon, but he did play a big role. I thought he did a really good job as the doctor. Again, playing a very serious but funny role, because he did have some funny lines in there, like when he's talking about his wife and the little things that he remembers and the littlest things.
Farting in her sleep.
And he goes, and it's the little things that you remember and that you like about somebody else. So I thought that was a really good movie for him to do, because again, it was just him.
Mm-hmm.
And again, he wasn't over the top. It was just very subtle, but it was him. And again, you can't picture somebody else playing that role because he did such a good job with it.
Yeah,
I love that movie. I was actually going to talk about that one too.
Eric stole it just like Joe stole mine.
It's not a big deal because I could still talk about it.
It's over.
Thing with Good Will Hunting, the thing that when you know the news broke that he had passed away, you know, Facebook and Twitter all exploded with little tributes, people tweeting out their favorite stuff, and it really sucks. You know, watching it and realizing what had just happened. But the thing, and that's the one where Robin Williams, Good Will Hunting, he won the best supporting actor in that one. And it's mainly because of the scene in the park on the bench talking to Matt Damon after Damon was an asshole to him earlier. And then they met and Robin Williams gives him the speech about how, you know, everything you know, you just read it in a book. And he goes off of like, you never been through this, you never been through that, you never loved somebody. And God damn it, dude, that scene, if you try to watch it now with, you know, his death being so fresh, and if, you know, you were a big fan like we all were, and you watch that scene now, it's really hard not to get emotional while watching it, because it is delivered so fucking good. And then plus with the fact knowing that, you know, obviously Robin Williams is going through real shit too, you know, because, you know, this doesn't happen unless you're depressed, probably, or going through really bad anxiety and depression. It's rough to listen to, but that line, and it's all, if people remember, the camera rotates around the bench and it's all one scene. You know, I don't know how many times it took him to do it, but he got that take and all one take, the whole speech. It was a huge monologue, and there's not a lot of scenes you could go back and throughout movie history and look at one scene and be like, this is perfect. You cannot do any better than how this was delivered. You cannot do any better of even how it's shot, even how, you know, and big kudos to Matt Damon in that role too, for just being able to be there and not be a distraction, but be engaged with it, the scene as well. So good. Delivered, like I said, pitch perfect. And I think that's the biggest reason you can't imagine anybody else, because he makes you know, Robin Williams is this hilarious guy and people tend to remember him for his comedy, but his dramatic acting was on par with, you could put that scene up against any dramatic performance on film and it will hold up well. And so
one of my other favorite scenes was in, it's kind of similar to that, is in Dead Poets Society, when he has him looking at the pictures.
Yeah.
And then he's talking to him about goes on about how they're just like him. He's all, look at them. They're young. They got the world in front of them. And then it was all about Basin. He goes, and where are they? They're dead now. And he goes, and that's when he's telling them to seize the day and take every opportunity. That was another good a speech he gives in one of his movies where it's very dramatic. But again, the way he delivers it, it was very impactful in that film.
Yeah.
Kevin Smith even went on Twitter and said that, and I was trying to see how much more he went into it, but I can't see it, that Robin Williams was really one of the reasons why that movie got made.
Yes, it was. Because they, two unknown people coming to get a movie made, and they're like, oh, but
Kevin
Robin,
Smith being loosely attached to it, yeah, didn't really, it helped, yeah, but
not like having a Robin Williams in it.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of, and to a different extent, it's kind of like the attachment of Danny DeVito to Always Sunny. Probably doesn't get past season two unless it has Danny DeVito's name on it. Same kind of thing. This movie probably doesn't get made unless Robin Williams says, okay, yeah, I'll be this part.
But I also see in IMDb's trivia section, apparently, because he, like you said earlier, he won the Oscar for Best Supporting Role. He went and sent a replica Oscar to the guy who did the German version, the dubbed over voice of him in Germany. He sent an Oscar replica to him, you know, because he won the Oscar for Best Supporting Role. So that's kind of cool of him.
That's pretty nice of him to do. He didn't have to do that. He did it.
But he did it.
Michael, do you have another one you
want to talk about? The one I mainly wanted to talk about was Good Will Hunting, because I just wanted to bring up that scene. But there's, like I said, there's so many. And one of the ones that I didn't even list as one of my favorites, or actually, no, I'll talk about Jack, because I don't think you guys care for that one that much.
I liked it.
I love that movie.
I liked it.
There you go.
It kind of reminds me of Big with Tom Hanks. Just in the fact that you see, you know, Robin Williams, who at the time was like 44 or something like that, playing a 10-year-old, and you say any other actor playing a 10-year-old, and you're like, Tom Hanks pulled it off. I don't, and that was a long time ago. I don't know if this is gonna work out.
But he really, like, he was believable as a little kid.
Yeah, and it was great because it's really his exact humor, just, you know, toned down without the life experience that Robin Williams brings to his stand up. I love that movie. He's so pitch perfect in it as a kid. Just the little things, like the interaction with his mom and dad. Or the first time he goes to school, and, you know, and he has to deal with the kids making fun of him until he goes out in the basketball court and he's a foot and a half taller than everybody else. So
just dominates.
So everyone's falls in love with him right then. And it's actually, if you go back to that movie, it's the least worst job that Jennifer Lopez has ever done in a movie too.
I forgot she was in that.
Yeah, exactly. If you forget she's in a movie and you still like
good
the movie,
job.
Good job, J-Lo.
I like the scenes between him and Bill Cosby a lot too.
Amazing. Because
when they make Bill Cosby eat the
pudding pop,
their mixture of stuff with the gummy worms, yeah, the ketchup, yeah, and the like the tuna and shit like that. Or when the when the treehouse falls down,
yeah, that's the
because
same,
there's
same
so
scene.
Yeah, when it falls down, it's hilarious because everyone's just screaming. The look on Robin Williams' face and Bill Cosby. It's so good. And then, you know, it gets good right there at the end because you're expecting to cut away and him be dead, but you find out he made it to graduation. So that was cool. And he looked older than he did in real life.
Yeah. But yeah, I think that was one of his better movies, too, to your point. I think he did.
Yeah, I don't think anybody, like, will ever look back on that one and say, oh, it's my favorite. And rightfully so. He's had so many great ones.
I just always thought he did a good job of, like, he comes across as actually being a little kid. And just the way, and not even so much his it's the way he moves. Like, when he's nervous, to your point, when he goes to school, really looks like a nervous little kid.
Messing with his T-shirt, folding his hands into his shirt, little things like that. Oh, my favorite. I forgot about it until I was talking about
when he makes the nipples with his fingers.
No, that my favorite part is...
you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
He meets the kid's mom and he's like,
the scene where him and one of a couple of his buddies, he goes into like a Circle K, and he obviously looks like a 44-year-old, so he buys a porno mag for all the kids. Yeah. And it's like, oh, I'll take these Skittles, this Gatorade, this soda, some mints. Oh, I'll take that issue of Playboy. And then the nun standing behind them.
Yeah.
It's so good, dude.
Honestly, I don't remember that movie much until you guys started describing it. And then, like I was trying to say, the erector set part.
Yeah.
There's like, I got one of those too.
That's it.
That's it. It really is just a...
I have one of those too.
It's the most random thing to bring up about that movie.
That movie, I mean, really, you think about it, I mean, it kind of was a bit random.
Fran Drescher was in it too.
Yeah.
And the fact that a movie can be good with Fran Drescher and Jennifer Lopez in it,
it's a fucking miracle.
Yeah, he should have won an Oscar. The more I think about it,
he should have won a Nobel Peace Prize. One of those things you get for doing stuff that's incredible.
Yeah, whatever. Some
Nobel
it was.
Peace Prize, right?
Yeah.
Medal of Honor. Give that out to him.
Sure, why not? We'll just give you survive.
You survive.
Every major
sir.
Award on the planet goes to.
Here's a grand.
And the winner of all Williams. Awards this year, Robin Williams. Way to go. That's it, Mike, for you on that one?
Yes, sir.
Joseph, your next one? You want to talk about another one?
I would have to probably say Jumanji.
Oh, thank God. They're gonna say, steal another one.
I thought he was going to say
Wait, Flubber. What's your next one?
No, I'm not telling you.
Damn it. So, because I want to talk about it.
Because I want to talk about it now. No, I just absolutely love that movie. It's just so fun, and that's really really it. I mean, come on, who when Robin Williams gets released from the game and just comes running out, going, "What year is it?" Just hair everywhere, beard is just grown forever.
Kind of looks like Cody looks
fuck
now.
Off. I knew.
Yeah.
Fucking hate you all. Not all of us can look like Will Sasso or Andrew Lincoln.
It's 2014, by the way.
Nice.
I love David Alan Grier in that movie.
So good.
Yeah. He's fantastic. Because he plays that bumbling idiot in a way. Like, oh, it's fantastic. When his fucking cop car gets trampled by the rhinoceros.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, dude. Remember, he's just like.
He's just staring.
Yeah,
I love the every time the stampede, because they show the stampede a couple a couple of times as it keeps going through town, and it's always was it the rhino that was way behind everyone else the slow. I don't know why I laughed every single time you see the whole stampede and it caused all this problems, a big blank gap in the stampede, and then you hear the footsteps of the slow fat rhinos every time. Made me laugh. It's so good.
But it's probably one of his more action adventure roles that I could really think of.
He was doing a lot in that movie, man.
Yeah, and he did it so well. And it was funny. It was heartwarming towards the end because you know the character itself was a kid when he gets trapped in the world of Jumanji, and he comes out, and
yeah.
All right, you had something else to say, and I was like. And it's what? What? Okay, awesome.
He bailed on all of those ideas.
Yeah, he did. What a dummy. Sorry. I didn't mean dummy. I'm trying to think, who the fuck was the dad in that movie?
Jonathan Hyde?
Yeah.
Because he played Van Pelt, too.
Yeah. God, I couldn't remember what it was. Who it was. It's funny to see who...
I forgot that little girl was Kristen Dunst, too.
Yeah, before she was all snaggletoothed.
And Bonnie Hunt. I hate Bonnie Hunt, too, but I like that movie, so that's pretty cool.
I hate Bonnie Hunt, too. She's a bitch.
I'm not saying that. I just don't like anything
that she's ever
except
done.
Except for Jumanji.
On her face. Stupid.
Wow.
Yeah, take
I'm
that.
I'm just saying that's what I think he meant by it. All right, anything else on Jumanji?
No.
That's it?
That's that, Crackers.
Do you ever get disappointed after you watch the movie, try to play the game, and none of that shit happened to you?
No, you're not
like,
at all.
You're like, this board game's broken. Fuck this game.
Fuck that game, dude. I remember seeing the games at Toys R Us and after
knock
the movie
them off
came
the shelf.
Off. I'm like,
fuck you, Jumanji.
I'm like, why would they make this game? That's awful.
Came out, looked nothing like it. It was like just the board folded in half. I was like,
who made the game? Like Milton?
Probably,
Milton
I don't remember. Yeah, it was awful. It was nothing
same
like that.
Same guys who make the Ouija board?
The devil? Oh,
And I haven't seen that movie in a long time, but I remember the graphics being pretty good at the time.
Yeah, they're all right.
Yeah.
Time,
yeah. Yeah. You know look back on it now and it looks
very, the stampede's a little wonky sometimes.
Yeah, but like the rest of it, like the monkeys.
The vines growing, you know, and shit.
Yeah,
like that.
The vines growing, the monkeys taking over that shit made me laugh too. And the monkeys took over the cop car and one shot off the shotgun through the roof.
Yeah,
made me laugh a lot.
Which is funny because like what really happened. So yeah, anything else? All right, Death to Smoochie.
Here's
my next one. I loved him in this movie. I love the movie in general because it was fucked up. Edward Norton was fantastic in it. So many great things, but his character, Rainbow Randolph, as it went by, was so like that kind of what you expect those child entertainers to be like off camera, you know, just like despicable and alcoholic and hates kids and things like that. But then like, he goes through different cycles in the movie about being nice and then like trying to kill Smoochie and then like realizing that he needs his help to come back and all these different things. But he's fantastic in it, and it's like not a role you'd ever think he would go into. And then obviously like that same year, he did
1 hour photo,
1 hour photo and Insomnia. So like just a like Joe said earlier, just like a
Insomnia was Nolan's like first big movie, flick, right?
Yeah.
Yep. But yeah, I love Death Smoochie because it's like such an odd role, but like so much different than anything he's ever done before, really. But also like a surprising role because of what it is, like, you know, hitting on the little kid's mom and stuff like that and things like that. So like little things, you know, that just fantastic. He's well played because, you know, being a drunk in real life helped him be a drunk on camera, too, I'm pretty sure.
Sometimes that helps. It helped Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah, it did. Become Tony fucking Stark. I don't think it's the actual official name, but...
It is now.
It is Tony F. Stark. So...
F. Stark?
Yeah. Short for fucking. Yeah. So that's it, I guess. Anyone else have anything to say about Sir Robin Williams?
You know, just want to, again... like, it's not very often... something like this to happen, a death. Like I heard the news through Twitter while I was at work on my break, and like it was really shitty because, and you know, he meant a lot to a lot of people because you could literally feel the mood at work as the news started to spread. Customers were talking about it, coworkers, my managers were talking about it. Like you tell the mood went way, way down when everyone heard. Like, nobody heard this and didn't feel sad. Like, nobody, like I said earlier, it doesn't matter what generation you're from. If you've seen a Robin Williams, you know, from, you could be 70 to, you know, a 10-year-old, because Aladdin still holds for little kids. And you enjoy his work. You might not enjoy all of it, but he definitely made you laugh at some point. So, like I said, it just speaks to how good he was, how hilarious he was. And again, with like his stand up or his guest spots on, you know, the late night circuits and all that, just a force of crazy energy, like so much energy. He was so like, I don't think that we'll ever see anybody else again that could bring that much energy, that much craziness, that much off the wall, but still stay, you know, cohesive, you know, coherent thoughts and be able to string together crazy bits like he did.
I don't know if you guys have ever listened to his old stand-up, like from the
Live at the Met.
Yeah, and some of that
amazing
was just, again, off the wall. Like one of my favorite bits was when he's doing Mr. Rogers and he's like, let's put Mr. Hamster in the microwave.
Yeah,
it's okay, he knows where he's going. Whoop, look, a balloon. That's like, that's just so wrong but funny.
Yeah, I just wanted to bring that up because it truly is. And I know, you know, this is not like like somebody losing a family member for us. Obviously, it's not that close on a personal level, but there's not a lot of other celebrities that would elicit, you know, this kind of sadness, this kind of mourning, this kind of response from so many people. And if you're on Twitter, you can go to every single comedian that is worth a damn has come out with a story that nobody really knew about Robin Williams helping them or just, you know, taking time to talk to him, like all the stand-ups and stuff like that. It's really sad. And he's, you know, obviously dealing with shit that was really fucked up. So, but still in the face of everything that he's going through, to be able to be known as just one of the funniest people ever is pretty remarkable. So that's that.
Yeah.
All right. So that's it for this episode. Thanks for listening. And news stuff or business stuff at the end. Again, iTunes. Go on there, subscribe, give us a rating, share with your friends.
Subscribe, rate, and review.
Yep. Go to Facebook, do that. Also, if you're using us on the Android platform, Podcatcher app, if you do the update, now has a share function. So you Android people out there can share the podcast with your friends on social media now, too. So that's would be awesome if you could do that for us. And we've had a lot of really good growth of downloads lately, so... Thank you for everybody who has been sharing it, because I've seen a couple people post it and share it on the Facebook and stuff. So awesome. That's thank you very much.
Really, really appreciated.
And we will talk at you later.
Peace.
Later.